Well, good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Great. Good to see you.
Rolling into this festive holiday season.
Yeah, and of course, we start off with a wonderful technical issue, but I think we're getting it resolved. Is Susan on the line?
She is.
All right. She's good here.
Yeah, she's here.
So we're going to eventually...
Susan and Tim.
Yeah, so we do have Sue on the video. Okay, and so we'll get that Zoom kind of squared away. Probably, if we don't get it for the first break, Sue will get it for the second break. But we clearly are there, and I'm letting me mute myself here. Matt, you're going to be doing your thing, and I'm going to be also doing my thing here. And the audio is working now, Matt, but I go ahead and I just muted it. And we'll get your image, your beautiful image there on Sue. In just a few moments. So let me just start over like the show just started, Sue, if that's okay. Welcome. This is Tom Holden, your host, and I'm your host every Thursday on The Morning Voice, and we get to talk about special events and tourism and all kinds of different things. And we have a special guest today, a longtime friend, Sue DiBenedetti. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Voice. KBOI listeners, and thank you, Matt, for your technical assistance.
Yes, and your and your voice is syncing with your lips, so that's a good thing.
That's important. That's right, to go like this, right?
Absolutely, but
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. So, and welcome to Tim Vimmerstedt.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Sue. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning,
Tim. It's been a long time. Thank you. It's awesome to hear your voice.
It's great to hear yours. You're a good friend.
Yes, Sue has been a good friend.
I'm being mindful not to say an old friend, but a good friend.
Friends through thick and thin.
Yeah, we have been through a lot.
Yeah, so we're how's that, man? Sounds better now. We're trying to get all the technical bugs worked out this morning. Believe it or not, Sue, we've done this before. You know, not hundreds of times, but Matt, how's it look at there in the back for you?
I think we're getting better now.
All right, good. So do you have an image
of
Sue?
Well, you have to admit me to the meeting, sir.
Oh, well, that's the most important. Yeah, I have to admit you to the meeting, and then I can get you on. There's so much going on. I forgot to admit you to the meeting. That doesn't help if I don't admit you to the meeting. There we go. It's coming. I hope. All right. Well, so, Sue, when we do our show, Tim gets a chance to, as the co-host, to talk about the upcoming festivals. And I'm looking at the sheet here, Sue, and you'll be very happy on what we're going to lead with. And then we're going to go into a little bit of how it got started. And I think probably, Sue, one of the things that our folks might be interested in is when you went out there seeking community support, how wonderful it's been and how successful you have been in getting the businesses here in town, part of this wonderful community event that's been going on. How many years now, Sue, has it been going on?
Well, we're talking about the Tucson Botanical Gardens. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year, and Lights Up Festival of Illumination is now in its fourth year. So about more than almost 5 years ago, I started working on bringing in corporate sponsors to help fund the finances to make this amazing holiday tradition event happen. So it was, as a nonprofit and as a, major tourist destination in Tucson, there are lots of friends that we have, and not just members and donors, individual donors, but companies that value the brand of the Tucson Botanical Gardens and what we were creating with Lights Up. So, obviously we attract more than 24,000 people, visitors, families, children over the course of almost 40 nights. This year, the festival is Well, we started on November 28th, and it runs through January 11th.
Right. And there's
only 2 days of closures, and that's Mondays, and then Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
So before we get into a lot of the details, Sue, Tim is going to go ahead and lead with, I think, again, you'll be happy what he leads with. And he's going to talk about his three favorite, and most of them, I think, are all holiday promotions, but you'll be happy with the lead. Tim, you got a minute here that you can do that real quick?
I do, sir.
Okay.
Lights Up, a festival of illuminations at the Tucson Botanical Gardens. It's already in place, going right now. Through January 11th.
Great.
And it's just a fantastic event. Get a cup of hot chocolate and walk around the beautiful gardens. It's just a great way to spend an evening. And then we have holiday nights at Tohono O'Toole, December 5th through December 21st. And you can enjoy some great food from our old friend, Patrick Fahey. And then the Tucson Jazz Festival kicks off January 26th through the 24th. Live concerts and activities downtown. And I've added one.
Okay.
To your list. At the family day at the zoo. They have 50 bikes to pick up, build, give away to Davis Monthan families. And now that you're an honorary commander, Tom, that should be important to you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the 8 o'clock hours.
Sounds good.
And how do they learn more about all of these events?
Well, they go to thisistucson.com, visittucson.org, and downtowntucson.org. You can learn all about the events going on in Tucson.
Great. Thank you, Tim. Sue, we long for a master calendar, don't we?
we've tried for decades.
Yeah, but, you know, those are three good websites, and, of course, you can go, as we'll learn more and more about how you get more information about all the things that are going on at the Tucson Botanical Garden.
I do have one other thing to add to Tim's list.
Well,
if I just got 1 minute.
Go ahead, Matt.
Christmas at the, got this from our friend Bunker. It's Christmas at the Historic Empire Ranch. It's December 13th, so it's coming up this weekend.
Okay.
10 a.m. to 2 p.m., music and entertainment, photos with Santa, crafts, local vendors, holiday raffle, house decorated for the holidays, and cookies with seasonal beverages. Yeah.
Cookies are good.
Cookies with seasonal beverages.
Yeah.
So the event is free, open to the public. Donations are appreciated for the preservation of the ranch. And that's out off of the Sonoyta Highway. So,
well, thank you, Matt. So
pass that along for Bunker.
Oh, appreciate that. Susan, as you can tell, that first segment generally is that we share all the great news about Tucson and all the festivals. And, of course, we are in festival season. It started when the sun went down and we were in the 80s, and now it continues through. We got about 3 minutes for the first segment, Sue. And generally, I want to get the public to know a little bit about Sue DiBenedetti. Now, I know it takes much more than 3 minutes to talk about Sue. because I've known you since you got out of the record business. So let's pick it up from you came to Tucson from the record business, and you have been flourishing ever since. So a little bit of background on who Sue DiBenedetti is.
Well, first of all, I am passionate about entertainment, live performance entertainment, but also just tourism attractions. It's really important to me to connect our community, our Southern Arizona community, to all the different attractions that are offered here in Tucson. So I started out, when I moved to Tucson, I first started at Old Tucson Studios.
Yeah, one day you showed up, and there you were. And I think I met Tom. Yeah, that was great. And Hilton and Myers was our ad agency at the time,
That's
you may recall.
Right, exactly. After Old Tucson, I went to work for the Tucson Symphony Orchestra.
Yes.
So there was my music passion, and I was the director of marketing and communications, and I really enjoyed my time there. But then after that, I went to work at the Tucson JCC, and I was the director of marketing communications there. And we launched the new fitness center there.
Yes.
And that was a lot of fun.
And I remember meeting with you, and you were on your back getting worked out and all those kinks worked out and everything. I don't know if you remember that.
What?
So you were getting, your body was getting worked on when I went and visited with you one time. You were the practical part of what you just talked about was that you as an employee, got to reap the benefits from that
Absolutely.
New center.
That fitness center is amazing. And I still go.
Oh, that's great.
But also after a while, the entertainment bug was still bugging, needling me. So I went to work for Arizona Theater Company, and I was director of marketing and communications there. And then COVID hit. Woohoo. Remember that?
I know. COVID hit.
Yeah, we closed down. After that, I always had a passion for biology and botany and plants, and I used to work at greenhouses on my summer break in college. So Michelle Conklin came knocking on my door.
I couldn't.
She said, "I have a project for you," and I said, "Okay." She goes, "Let's meet." So we did, and she talked to me about Lights Up, and I just said, "I'm in." So that's what I do. I focus and raise money. Corporate sponsorship for not just Lights Up, but all of the exhibits at the Botanical Gardens.
Yeah, I had just the opportunity to hear Michelle talk at the Rotary Club, and I said, we are going to stream your entire presentation. And so if you want to hear Michelle talk about all of the things that are happening at Tucson Botanical Gardens, you can stay tuned here for the next 45 minutes, and Sue and I are going to go through everything that's going on Tucson Botanical Garden, but we're going to talk certainly about Lights Up too, because the story is absolutely amazing how over a million lights appeared at Tucson, but it wasn't magic. It was a lot of hard work, wasn't it, Susan? And there is a great amount of community support. So we're going to cover that as well. So you don't want to go anywhere. And Susan, you are live on YouTube right now. We've had you on for a little bit. And if you're on YouTube, man, how do they find out and they can see the beautiful Sue DiBenedetti live on
the air? You can go to our channel, 1030 The Voice on YouTube, and I'll backlink to it during the break to Facebook as well. But go to YouTube, 1030 The Voice is our channel, and it's streaming right there live.
Well, man, I love that when you get all of the problems worked out. And, on my side, Sue, it was simply turn the computer off and turn it back on. It's amazing.
That solves 95% of all computer problems.
I could be an IT specialist.
You could.
Right, Tim? What do you think, Tim?
And then ask people if they've checked, if they've cleared their cache. That's the other one you have to.
I don't know how to do that. That's too technical for me. And you can do that on the phone, too. You have to do that on the phone. Well, this is The Morning Voice, and we're here with the beautiful Sue DiBenedetti. She's everything about Tucson Botanical Garden. I have to say a big thank you to Sue DiBenedetti, because wherever she's been, the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance has been part of her life from the day one, where she helped me introduce the Tucson Attractions Passport. You remember those days, Sue?
Yes,
and
I
to
do.
Everywhere you've gone, the SAAA has become a member. So we'll be right back after these few messages with Sue DiBenedetti and Tim Emerset. Well, we're back with segment two with Sue DiBenedetti from the Tucson Botanical Garden, and before we went to break, we were starting to talk about Sue, and she ended up in a meeting with Michelle Conklin, the I guess it's president and CEO now, right, Sue?
Yes.
Yeah, so big title, but she deserves it, let me tell you. That's happened with the nonprofit world. A lot of the executive directors now have a more of a commercial title, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're leading the charge of the corporation, and so well-deserved for Michelle Conklin to be the president and the CEO. That doesn't mean that the board doesn't govern a lot of the big decisions, because she has a great board, and they're very, very interested in Michelle Conklin's, I guess, visions is probably the right word, Sue, don't you think?
Yeah, she is definitely a visionary, and she's very creative. She is also a member of the National Public Gardens Board. So she has the opportunity to share and glean information from botanic gardens around the country.
Yeah, and she talks often about that, and they do collaborate. And I think
very much.
She's long been, and she maybe had this in place now where you can get kind of a national tour of all of the botanical gardens. And, of course, we're very fortunate here in Tucson that we have two gardens, and they're completely different. And we do collaborate. One of the things that has really helped all of us collaborate has been the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, started back in 1998 with Ed Harrell from Pima Air and Space. And do you remember Sherry Bang, Sue, at all? Do you remember that name at all? Or
she
She was Channel 4, and then she went over to the Tucson Museum of Art. And she brought the television and communication knowledge to the startup committee of the SAAA. And of course, Visit Tucson, Pat Tierney was there, and Bob Edison joined us later from, you knew Bob from either the Biosphere for the Desert Museum. So it was a great start, and Sue was very instrumental, as I mentioned just briefly, that we introduced the Tucson Attractions Passport, which, by the way, 23rd edition is happening, and Sue started off with my first salesperson. It looked like a passport. It was a passport to the attractions, and Sue, what did we have? 25 attractions, maybe, in that first book. It was pretty small, but very popular.
It was small, but each year it got bigger and bigger, and the discount opportunities are fabulous, and it's worth. The value to purchase the passport is worth so much in discount tickets to all the different attractions.
Well, thank you, Sue, for that. You helped start it with your sales experience, and it's now.
It was amazing.
Yeah, Tim was president under you were the fourth president, Tim. And I think,
yes.
And then I followed you. Let's see, the rodeo guy, Bob Stewart, was after you. And we established that yesterday. Bob and I were having a discussion of the sequence. So, Sue, you've really landed in a really special place. You've taken all of your energy and all of your expertise, and you were introduced to this vision of transforming. Now, they already had a great holiday.
They did. It was called Luminaria Nights.
Yeah,
and it was really very pretty, but which was fabulous. But Michelle had a vision to really kick it up 1,000 more notches,
or at least 1,000,000, maybe.
and that's how about 1,000,000 more lights?
A million more reasons why.
That's. You know, that was the start of Lights Up Festival of Illumination. And I do have to say, the Stonewall Fund at the Community Foundation of Southern Arizona has been a very big supporter of Lights Up. They are very philanthropic, and they really enjoy investing in projects that better our community.
Yeah, I remember when you had the kickoff over at the Botanical Gardens, and you were reintroduced to me. Lots of community leaders were there. At that time, it was just a bunch of pictures, but very nicely done. I can't remember the name of the marketing director.
The event was called Power Up.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the proposal that we did.
Yes.
And that was almost 9 months before we started the event.
And how long have you been on board when they did the pre event?
Probably at least 6 months before, 7 months before.
So you had a lot of your solid sponsors already on board at that time?
Oh, yeah, and each year we grow. Each year sponsors come back and help. You know, we've been very supportive. If I can, I'll list a couple of our corporate sponsors.
Sponsors lists are okay on this show.
Say what?
It's okay to list your sponsors. That's absolutely okay.
Well, we really do have to thank Tucson Electric Power.
Yes.
Obviously, we wouldn't have the lights without the power, electricity. Desert Diamond Casino, Lloyd Construction, Cox Communications, Rainbird. Perfect, right?
Yeah. Well, this is...
You need water.
Yeah, this is the who's who. Really, right. Of community support. We got about 20 seconds, rather, so go ahead and keep listening to them, and we're going to go to another break. Go ahead, Susan.
Oh, H.S. Lopez Family Foundation, Nova Home Loans. They've been with us since the beginning. They're a fabulous organization, fabulous company. We are fortunate, and I am fortunate to... have to build relationships.
Thank you, Susan. We'll be right back with Sue DiBenedetti from the Tucson Botanical Garden. This is The Morning Voice. Well, Matt's doing a fine job in there getting us all into the holiday spirit. We were just at Old Tucson last night for the holiday party, and Papa Noel made a surprise appearance again.
Oh, my goodness.
Lots of gifts. You know, he does this special kind of gift exchange. There's one present that sticks out. And over the years, it's been a blanket and a quilt, of all things. Yesterday, I have to tell you, I think it was... something to do with the spirit of the holidays that was made absolutely just down the road in one of our fine vineyards here in southern Arizona. Well, Sue DiBenedetti is our guest today. And Sue, exactly, I know sponsorship is a big part of your job, but you're doing a lot more than just sponsorship. You're really out there every day talking about the Tucson Botanical Gardens, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely. As I mentioned early on, it's our 50th anniversary, and it's a garden that continues to bloom and grow. And it's really been a fabulous watching it expand over the years that I've been there. And the vision, again, that Michelle has with the we recently renovated, completely changed the front entrance to the gardens. We have renovated the new gift shop. There's always evolution.
Yeah, and there is. And you walk into Michelle's office, as I mentioned, and you can see that vision with the beautiful pictures that her and the architects have been putting together. But this promotion, this holiday promotion, is absolutely the biggest that Tucson Botanical Gardens has done, probably the biggest transformation in all of the holiday promotions here in the community. So let's drill down a little bit, Susan, and let's talk about why this thing is so special.
Well, once you step through the front entrance and you enter the whimsical land of lights, we start hanging those lights in September. So it involves a lot of volunteers and a lot of special tree climbers, people that are tree specialists, and they start stringing those trees back in September. But also we have some wonderful creative structures that are filled with lights. And each year we add a new component to make it different and a different experience each year. So we have several zones. So you walk in and you're in the arrival and you see the huge Christmas tree in the pavilion. And this year the theme is really cool. Every year it's a different theme, and I'm not going to tell you what the theme is because it's a surprise.
Okay.
And then what you do is you do the welcome walk, you go down Whimsy Way. Each of the zones, like Bedazzled Boulevard, the Silver Forest, each of those zones has a series of unique light features, like the Luminaria chandeliers, the Hanging Stars, and one of my favorites is the new crescent moon, which we debuted last year.
Okay. Yes.
The Hanging Stars. But the other thing about the experience is that you have to bring the family. You have to bring the kids. The trains, we have a new, the Great Garden Express, we actually decorate the trains and the little structures in the Great Garden Express area. So all of those are lit up with little tiny wreaths and little tiny little luminarias. So it really, the kids love it. They really do. Not just that, it's also a fabulous opportunity to take family holiday photos, to capture the memory. Last year, my husband and I, we took our photo at the underneath or at the bottom of the crescent moon. And that was my holiday card.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a great opportunity. And, you know, as you wander through, there's 5 acres. But as you wander through the paths, there's music, there's hot cocoa. And the opportunity is to just experience festive.
It's early morning. We got you up early today.
Yeah, you did. I only had one cup of coffee.
And thank you. You know, so when you're walking through the botanical gardens, I think you mentioned 5 acres because I think you wanted to communicate that this is not a, you know, a 10-minute walkthrough. However,
no.
The Tucson Botanical Gardens pathways through the gardens and through certainly all the luminaries is that there are benches all along your route. So you could do it at your pace. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. There's all places just to stop and to absorb and to see the lights, or if you're there during the day, to really, really focus in on some of the plant and the biological diversity.
Yeah, too. I heard Tim. Tim, you have a comment.
I do. Michelle invited me to come tour the botanical gardens, and I'm wheelchair bound. And she said it's fully accessible.
Fully, yes.
Good point, Tim. Very, okay. Very good point. For people like me, as we're getting a little bit older, being on our feet for what do you think the? I know it's hard to say what the average time to walk through it because you can. I have to tell you. Tell me about the area that is synced to music. Because I was there forever on that area.
That area is called the Dancing Trees.
Oh yes! Oh my God!
And it is synced to music, and it's really, you have to stand there and just enjoy the music and watch the lights and the different trees illuminating at different times. So it's all choreographed.
Yes, and I know you left a little piece of your heart over at the symphony, but you literally are standing in the middle of this light show. And if you use your imagination, the symphony's right behind you.
Yes, it is. It's there. I think the takeaway from the Festival of Illumination is just an experience, a memory that will stay with you for a long time. And it's an opportunity to just bring your friends, your significant partner, and the kids.
Well, you probably remember you and I having this conversation back when you started at Old Tucson. One of the things that we did right before you got there is we had recognized that a quality time with your family was so important. And this town back then was predominantly attractions were for empty nesters and for more the senior folks, because then we have a large tourism population that comes here and stays at our wonderful RV parks. But there was certainly a lack of family attractions for quality time. And Susan, I'm so happy that you were talking about bringing the families out, because I know it's gotten better, but somewhat commercially better. In other words, there's been this huge number of family entertainment centers that have started up in the last 3 years. And I think that's good. And we have some of them are members. Lava just started up. I mean, of course, Funtastics, as you know, was the original probably FEC or golf and stuff. Or maybe even place where you used to work, Tim, promoting pizzas. What was that place again?
Peter Piper Pizza.
That's right. That was probably the first family entertainment center, but they were known for their pizza, not necessarily their arcades. So that's a lot different, Sue, than what you're doing there as far as creating memories with the family. And we're talking not teenagers here. We're talking three and up, or whenever you can walk around, the little kids
that's
are
right.
just enjoying
little toddlers.
That. Absolutely.
Little toddlers stumbling around.
I mean, do they allow strollers along the pathway?
Oh, yes. Strollers,
okay.
Wheelchairs. Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, even the lights are illuminating for the one-year-olds that are actually get to ride in the buggy, you know. And again, the Botanical Garden is known for its wonderful holiday, you know, extravaganzas. And this just took it to, you can't even put a mathematical denominator behind how different it is, and how more spectacular it is. And I could, you know, spend all day, using adjectives on the experience, but it's a curated visit, but it's not in your face it's subtle, you know,
It's very strategically designed so that you have a different, when you turn the corner of a path, it's like, oh, wow, look at that. Oh, my gosh, look at these structures. Look at these flying animals that are made out of the artistry that we hire to create these structures are amazing. There's a gentleman by the name of Joe Benedict that is a metal sculptor. Actually, his brother, John, is also a metal sculptor. But Joe creates all these wonderful metal objects that we decorate with lights. We do a lot with local vendors, local artisans, which is important.
Yeah, it really shows off. And we're going to be back for the final break. And we'll talk a little bit about those specifics, Tim, and about how you can get in, the times, the websites, and all that kind of stuff. Maybe a little bit of a virtual tour, but you don't want to substitute anything virtually. You got to go there. We'll be right back. And thank you, Timmy. This is The Morning Voice on 10:30 a.m., the trusted local news and talk. Matt and I are just sitting back and enjoying the music. We're only allowed to play just a little bit because of our FCC license, but it's always a great intro. Sue, you still there, right? And can you hear me, Sue? Nope, she can't hear me. So let's see. It's probably my fault because I told her, Matt, to do something with your computer. So I'm going to... she's on the phone, right? Sue? Yeah. So Sue, can we hear you now? We're trying to get you back on.
I can hear you now. Yeah.
All right. Great. Thank you, Matt. And Matt's doing his magic behind the scene there. And, all right. So we've really heard a lot about Lights Up and, how it's grown and everything. But you know what? We're going to give away some tickets, right?
Yes. Two pairs of tickets.
Two pairs of tickets. Matt, how we're going
to
do the...
Before I have people call in, are you going to email them to them, or are they going to pick them up at will call? Let me know up front what we're doing here so I can tell the winners.
So what we're going to do, Matt, I'll go ahead and take that. So you're going to go ahead like you do normally, take their name, their email, and their phone number, and Sue will call them and get their tickets to them before their event. But
okay, how many pairs of tickets we got?
Two pairs.
Okay.
And we'll do it to the first and second caller.
790-2040. That's 790-2040 in the 520 area code. 790-2040. If you want to go to Lights Up at Tucson Botanical Gardens.
So, Sue, let's get those dates out and the times and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the dates are now through January 11th, and it starts at 6 o'clock. And what we do is that we have timed entries because there are some evenings where we get a lot of people through, and so you have to manage that traffic. But anyway, your tickets would be available for Tuesday through Sunday. And again, it starts at 6 p.m. when it's nice and dark outside. So hopefully good luck and call in and become a winner.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, you're going to really have to bring your phones because you'll be taking a lot of pictures. And it's really neat about these phones. Now, in order to capture the lights, you don't have to turn on your flash because there'll be plenty of light there with these new iPhones and new Android phones. And they capture the atmosphere of the event. And tell us about the maneuvering around the website. You can really see a lot of images and pictures as well.
Yeah, you can go to www.tucsonbotanical.org to Lights Up. And there's lots of opportunities to see some photos of some of the current light experiences. And you can also order your tickets online. So just go to the website and order Lights Up tickets, and there you go.
Now we got a few, one more minute. This experience now getting to the front gate, now that you've renovated it along with the gift shop, the experience just starts as soon as you get into the parking lot. But what I want to talk about just briefly is that there is off-site parking because parking can be difficult at the Tucson Botanical Garden. So can you talk a little bit about parking?
Well, recently we opened up a garden shop at the corner shopping center where Vasa Fitness is. So that has given us the opportunity for parking for guests at the Vasa Fitness, which is right next to the gardens.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's walking distance, right to the front gate.
Absolutely.
Great. And I know sometimes you do shuttles, but on this particular event, are you doing any shuttles, or there'll be plenty of parking between the two areas that you just talked about?
No shuttles. There's plenty of parking between our parking lot, the Vasa Fitness parking lot. There's no problems. I do have to make one caveat though, because of the construction.
Oh yeah, all good time.
Grant and Alvernon.
Yes.
There are some traffic issues, so I would give yourself some time to get there and be patient with the traffic.
Yeah, you wish they would have held off until like January 12th.
Going on for a year and a half already.
Is that right? Well, Sue, I want to thank you so much for being on. Thank you for all your support of the SAAA. Every place that you've gone to is a better place to visit because the mark that you've left on those attractions, and sometimes there's a couple I wish you were back. But it's a great opportunity to have you on the air, to see you, to continue to work with you. So thanks so much for being part of the Tucson Botanical Gardens and certainly being out there in the community and sharing everything that you do with all the sponsors that you talked about.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tim. It's great to hear your voices and see you, Tom. And also thank you to Bustos Media for KBOI radio and TV. And Matt, thank you.
Great hour today. Yeah. I can't wait because we went last year. It's a great, great time. And so we'll be going, we'll be back this year.
All right. Well, thank you, Sue, and have a good day. And we'll see you out there at the Tucson Botanical Gardens to lights up.
Happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you. We'll be back at 8 o'clock with the Oro Valley Economic Development and Tourism crew, Paul and Crystal. I'll be right back and see you about 8:03. Well, I'm here. It's 8:03, and welcome to the Morning Voice. And I got two special folks that one is here in the studio. So good morning, Paul. We really appreciate you being here. Paul Melcher, who is the Community and Economic Development Director of Oro Valley.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
God, I'm glad you're here. It took a while.
It did.
You've been a busy man, you know, because you did some things, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. And Crystal, can you hear us? Crystal Frank. Okay, now can we hear, we're going to kind of boost your volume a little bit, so settle.
Perfect.
There you are, we can hear you now. So Crystal Frank, you came on board how long ago?
So a year and 4 months.
It's been over a year, Paul and Crystal, my goodness gracious. And, you know, I'll have to tell everybody I'm an Oro Valley resident since 1997.
Wow.
Moved into Rancho Vistoso and rented a home for 2 years, and then moved to Copper Creek. And I was asking Paul before we got on the air because they're tearing up my neighborhood. Actually, they're doing very, very carefully tearing up my neighborhood. They're adding some new fiber optic, right, Paul, you said? And what was the other thing you mentioned that they were doing out there? Get closer to the microphone, Paul.
Yeah, so in and around Naranjo Park, we're extending the multi-use path.
Oh, well, there's nothing better than the multi-youth pass. Now, is it all somewhat interconnected with the loop in places?
Yes, because eventually you'll be able to get down from Naranjo Park all the way to First, and then you can hop on the loop, and you'll be right there anywhere starting around Oracle in that shopping center right there at Oracle and First.
That's great. You know, so for those that don't know what the loop is and a multi-purpose trail, it means that you can have people walking, you can have people running, can you have horses on your multi-use trail?
I think that's the limit there. Once you get past the biking, running, and walking, I think that's the limit.
Yeah, and then of course the loop, I think, does have horseback riding in there, but you have to be, it's a multi-use trail, so there's a lot of people that are on there, and there's usually there's some restrooms along the way, and the good thing is there's no cars. And I think we've been elevated to winning awards about all of our multi-use trails and how they all interconnect and everything. So we got off on that tangent because we mentioned it, but I think, you know, Oro Valley has really done a great job, and you know, they're kind of overused words, Paul, but it's a great place to work and to play, and of course you're working on eat, you know. it's there's never enough restaurants, but you have some great restaurants, and you got some folks that are moving in, like El Charro has you know, two restaurants now, right? Maybe even more in Oro Valley, it's close to Oro Valley, you know, with their steak. With their steak restaurant that opened up where the old, used to be an old bakery, I think, at that time. But I think we're going to talk a little bit with Paul and Crystal about the economic development, effort that's going on in Oro Valley, because they got this great innovation park. And you'll be surprised at the number of companies that are there. And there is space left still in the Innovation Park. Is that right, Paul?
Yeah, roughly 150 acres left for development.
Well, that's quite a few acres. So, the door is wide open, so as they say, in the economic development world, to relocate your business at Oro Valley. And one of the things that I think is important that we'd like to get to know both who Paul and Crystal is. This is kind of an historical thing that we do for everybody that comes on air. So, Paul, let's start with you, because you've been there the longest. There have been economic development people before you that have done a great job. But tell us a little bit about Paul so that our audience can get to know you.
Well, Tom, I started my public sector career back in San Luis, Arizona, as Parks and Rec Director and by default, Assistant City Administrator, which was for a small town, also economic development, community development, and a number of other jobs that they just said, hey, can you do this? And you just take it on and go with it.
Right, right.
So before moving to Oro Valley, I was the Community and Economic Development Director and Intergovernmental Affairs Director for Yuma County. And so that's where I was able to develop that five-year program and economic development plan for the county, moving over here, taking that and updating that last February. So we have an updated SEDS, but that's in a nutshell how my career arc went from Parks and Rec Director all the way to Economic Development Director.
Well, you truly understand the quality of life. And certainly it starts with the Parks and Rec Department. And then all, and everything kind of affects quality of life from the roads to the attractions to the Parks and Rec. And, of course, you have to combine the state and national parks as part of our quality of life. And the Catalina State Park is very well attended, isn't it? And of course, fire and safety is a big part of quality of life. And one of the things that I was taught years and years and years ago when I worked for a place called Geauga Lake, and we used to say Aurora, Ohio. We had a lion that introduced us. You know, it's kind of silly, but we had probably 10 companies in our industrial park, small town. Two big theme parks, Geauga Lake and SeaWorld. But I have to tell you, I remember, and you tell me if this is still true, is that those 10 to 12 companies helped keep our tax base lower than it would have been if the companies weren't there.
Well, Tom, for the town of Oro Valley, it's a little bit different because okay. The town doesn't have a primary property tax that goes directly to the town. So for us, it's region-wide, it helps level your property taxes, the secondary taxes that are assessed. But that's one of the benefits of being in the town of Oro Valley is that we don't have a primary property tax.
And I think that lowering the second property tax, which is fire and safety, your schools, and some other things, so the taxes would be a little bit lower in the secondary property tax because of the amount of companies that you've been able to locate there within the city limits. Now, the city limits have actually expanded a little bit since I moved in 20-plus years ago.
Yes, now we include all the way down to the most recent annexation was of Westward Look over there off of Ina.
And the cool thing about that is you now have two major resorts within your city limits, and they bring people from in all over the world.
Yes, especially given the difference in travel trends right now, certainly statewide. There's been a little bit of change. Tour and travel isn't as predominant as it was once for both of the resorts. It's more of a focus on the leisure side, definitely Canadian, Mexico traveling, some international travel, but that main point of emphasis is domestic travel.
And that's a good segue into Crystal, because you... Paul stole you away from one of my favorite Oro Valley companies, Simple View. Congratulations to you, Paul, for finding Crystal. And obviously you came with a great background. So talk a little bit about who Crystal is.
Yeah, so exactly what you said. I worked for Simple View for 10 years and worked with some of the brightest and the best DMOs in the country, which was really exciting. And the more I worked with them on the vendor side, the more I wanted to step in on the DMO side and actually put what I learned with all the great people at Simple View and all the DMOs that I worked with to use here. So when this opportunity came available, I live in Oro Valley. I've been here since 2014. I think Tom, you and I live in the same neighborhood, and it just made sense. I just really want Oro Valley to succeed as a DMO. So was really excited at the opportunity to do this.
Well, we were so happy that Ryan started Simple View right outside of Foothills Mall. And that wasn't quite Oro Valley, and never do understand why that's not part of Oro Valley, but That could be politics, so we're trying not to talk too much about politics in this show. Certainly when they moved to Oro Valley, that was a joyous day. I remember when it was only like 10 employees. And how many employees were up there in that area?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, at the height pre-COVID, you know, right at the beginning of 2020, I think we probably had about 300 employees, almost 300 employees in that building. And it was, yeah, it was amazing. It was really cool. You know, we were spread out on La Cholla, so we had a lot of different buildings in that complex where CMS would be in one, developers, and then everyone. So it was really cool to all come together in this ginormous building and have camaraderie. And it was great.
And needless to say, Paul, that their salary levels were a little bit probably on the good side, or I should say the higher side.
Yes, they were. And in fact, I'll even add on to what Crystal was saying. The last projection before their acquisition by Granicus, I think there were up to 450 worldwide.
You know, they used to do their big annual event, Crystal, as you know, here in Tucson. And it got to be so big, they had to move outside of Tucson and go elsewhere, I guess. I'm not sure that's even a word, but we really miss them not having their, because that was truly DMOs from all over the world,
right,
were descending upon Oro Valley. That's not all bad, is it, Paul?
No, it's always great to get that business visitation.
You know, and there are a lot that do end up seeing how beautiful Oro Valley is and in the region, and actually buying a home here or relocating their business. So that's a great lead list, I would imagine, that everybody wants to grab your friendly competitors, you know, right across the road, so to speak, in Marana and elsewhere. But you know, one of the things about economic development in the state of Arizona, it's truly collaborative. And we're going to talk about that as soon as we come back from the first break. So this is The Morning Voice, and we have special guests, Paul Melter, and we have Crystal Frank from the city of Oro Valley. And we're going to talk about tourism, because that's what we do here on Thursday. And we also talk about some of the neat tools that you have adopted. And then how did this all happen and why did it happen? We're going to get into all the great reasons why it is to come visit Oro Valley. And we'll probably end up talking about Tona Chua, one of my favorite attractions, and some of the things they're doing there as well. So I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we'll be right back with The Morning Voice. Well, we're back, and my co-host is on the line, Tim Vimmerstedt. Good morning, Tim. Or he was on the line. Oh, we got to.
Hey, I'm on the line.
We got to. We have to turn the right volume knob, and Matt got you going. So, good morning, Tim.
Good morning, sir.
Now, you probably haven't met Paul or Crystal, but these are two wonderful people that are neighbors of mine. And we're, as you know, Tim, when you joined me at Old Tucson, you knew that I had a 45-minute drive, but it was a pleasurable drive because, as my dad used to say, I take that time as quiet time to plan my day, or to figure out what am I going to do, what kind of cocktail am I going to have when I get to home, depending on the stress level.
You know?
But you know, Oro Valley is a wonderful community, and obviously you have a studio full of folks that are very pro Oro Valley, but we're happy that Marana's growing as well. I mean, and of course you work with Kurt over there, and is Kurt right?
Kurt and Stephanie.
Kurt's been there for a long time, and that, of course, Marana is really growing too. Of course, all around us, the economic development effort and the tourism effort, Crystal, we haven't forgot about you, okay? Mm-hmm. But we're going to start a little bit of this second hour about economic development. Now, Paul and Crystal, you may not know this, but there for about 4 years before my kind came on board, I had the opportunity to take my attraction side in Pima County after I left Old Tucson and got involved with John Moffitt, okay? And he wasn't in charge of economic development just yet, but he was everything else, okay? He was our election guy. He was our IT guy. And he was our map guy. And he was my counselor. Mostly his shoulder to cry on. But John was a great guy, and he's still around. And he took when my kind came in, and then the city stole him away because he was the Marana town manager, and he was in charge of economic development. And Mike used to say, when people asked, well, why is Pima County sitting at the table? And Mike would say, well, we got tired of just bringing the donuts. You know, we wanted to be involved. And he took, and he brought me to most of those economic development meetings, and that was certainly the beginning of TRIO, which is now, then it was Sun Corridor, and then now it's the Chamber of Southern Arizona, and some great people are in charge of that. Michael Guyman, of course, Joe's been around for, and is David still there?
David retired about a year and a half ago.
Oh, yeah. I wonder why I hadn't seen him. You know, but he used to be the Oro Valley Economic Development guy, so he kept it in the family, so to speak. But, you know, so I did touch economic development because tourism is obviously a huge economic development driver in any community. And asset management and development and all that, you know, tourism needs to be involved because it's wonderful when people come from out of town because they leave this very important product with them. It's called money. And it's what they call new dollars, not just old dollars circulating around. So we're really, but economic development touches many things, doesn't it, Paul? And we'd like to hear a little bit about, this was when I moved here, they were just putting in the traffic light in 1997 at Fry's at First and Oracle. Oracle was not the large road that it is right now. So think about the growth of Oro Valley since 1997. So, you know, a little bit over 20 years. And you've been involved in that.
Well, I've been involved for the last 5 years.
That's right.
So the town, as we've been approaching build-out, that's one of our areas of focus is then how do we create sustainability? Because it's very easy to generate economic development, look at vitality when you're growing at 300 to 400 housing units a year. You get all of the associated, affiliated economic development with that. But now that we're getting close to that build-out stage, then how do we look at certain areas to build on that so that as we finalize development, how do we make it sustainable?
Now, how do they say that your town council, you know, it seems like, and which isn't necessarily a fair thing, where you label an elected official pro-growth and no-growth. But I don't think the city councils that I've been involved in, it's not been no-growth or pro-growth. It's been, and I'm not sure what the word is, I want to say it's controlled growth, but it's managed growth. Is that the right word that you've been using? When you're now getting close to a build out, but on the other hand, you do have some of the challenges that other communities have, i.e., as careful as you've been, leaving at 7:30, there's traffic now.
Well, Tom, I think as you're approaching that build out, the two points of emphasis there are infield development, looking at now that we've developed where are those gaps that we can take a look at to see what makes sense there. And then the other one is reuse, especially coming off of the end of COVID, looking at how the retail spectrum changed in terms of what's out there, knowing that the marketplace had been developed for another 100,000 people anticipated north. What do we do with some of that adaptive reuse of those buildings? So that's what we've been focusing on right now is just looking at those two perspectives.
Well, you have 150 acres, as you mentioned, left at the innovation. It's my understanding that the acquisition of the Oro Valley Marketplace is solid, and that they're going to start doing some new construction and some renovation out there. Is that something you would like to share with us?
Yes, the 352 apartment units have begun construction. You'll see an interesting pedestrian tunnel going under Water Harvest Way.
Ooh.
So all of that activity there, yes.
Wow.
The next phase would be this next set of apartments and a hotel on the Oracle side of Marketplace.
Yeah, and it's, if I understand HSL has a little bit of interest there in that because of the property management company. It's a great area over there, and there's room for growth there. And adding the hotel, I think, it seems like when I go by an evening, there are a lot of cars at the local hotels now. And so our visitors seem to be choosing Oro Valley as the focal point of where to stay.
Yeah, and that's the great value that we have because, as you mentioned earlier, you have two resorts, plus you have a good variety of limited service hotel options.
And I would say if they're not three-star, they're pretty darn close, these limited service, as we call them in the hospitality industry. But that doesn't mean you don't get good, clean room in hospitality.
No, for us, it's a benefit because as the resorts drive their group bookings, you look at the association business, those affiliations, that's really their niche. But then you've got the limited service that helped us provide housing options for the tournaments, for all the other activities that we're recruiting in for special events.
Yeah, and Crystal, when we come back, we're going to ask you to talk a little bit about those sports tournaments that come into town and some of the other athletic events and then some other things you'd like to talk about regarding the community special events. So this is the Morning Voice, and we're here with Paul and Crystal from the town of Oro Valley. We're talking about economic development and tourism. So we'll be right back in just a few moments. All right, we're back, and we're here with two special guests from the town of Oro Valley. And we were just starting to talk about tourism, and this is, Crystal, this is when you're up, okay? Because 10 years of working with Simple View, you were exposed to, God, my numbers are going to be low, but when Rick Vaughn was there, it was like 300 or going on to 400 DMOs from all over the world. And when you left, how many DMOs were you working with, you think, at that time?
Yeah, I think when I left, we had about 900 DMOs all over the world, really, not just the country, but the world. So it was, yeah.
So you were exposed with, you know, there used to be two philosophies with a Convention and Visitors Bureau, you will use that term. You either have members or you don't have members, okay? And, let me just tell you a quick story here before you get going on what is going on in Oro Valley. So, you know, I was here at Old Tucson, and then I left for 9 months to help open up an aquarium in Cincinnati, Newark, Kentucky area, and we did that was my second aquarium I helped open. I opened the New Orleans Aquarium as the VP of marketing. And I had the Cincinnati CVB on one side of the river, and I had the Newport, Kentucky. One was members. One had membership, and one not have membership. So I heard the reasons why you should have members and the reasons why you shouldn't have members. And let me just tell you a quick story. I come back, okay, and I'm happy I was welcomed. And I immediately got on the board of the Convention and Visitors Bureau and Metropolitan Convention and Visitors Bureau. And we had this discussion, and I just want to share this with you real quick, is that Rick Vaughn, who was the VP of marketing, got in front of the group and was trying to pitch the difference between a membership organization and a non-membership organization. And here's the example he said. He said, I had a guest call me the other day, and they were looking for the steakhouses in Tucson. And he says, I visited your website, and I won't mention the name of the steakhouse, but it wasn't one of the ones that you would expect to be focused on, a small kind of steakhouse. And his pitch was, guys, we have Fleming's, we have, you know, he just mentioned all the different steakhouses. I said, are we really doing the right service for our visitors, okay? And we all sat there and didn't want to say anything. We wanted to absorb it. And that was the principal difference right there, right in front of everybody, that when you have members, sometimes you adopt a pay-to-play. And here's a visitor. So who are you serving? Okay. So I'll leave it at that. Okay. Now, you are now involved in tourism, okay, for over a year now. And what are some of the things that are happening? Because now you are focused on bringing visitors, not only to Oro Valley, but you're also promoting the region as well. Yeah. But you're also obviously promoting, here's a really wonderful place to stay with our two resorts and so on and so forth. So let's tell us what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Oro Valley is such a magical place. I think we all know that if we live here, work here, it's a great place to stay. It's a great place to play. It's incredibly beautiful. There's so much to do outdoors. We offer so much to a visitor that is wellness focused and outdoor focused, with running, hiking, tennis, golf, pickleball, all the things that thrive here in Oro Valley. So it's really exciting to start bringing some of these things to life in the form of tournaments. On the flip side, we are in the process of designing and developing a website, which will obviously help our marketing efforts, getting people to know, hey, Oro Valley is here, not outside of, you know, just Tucson or Phoenix or the surrounding areas in Southern Arizona, but really getting to the Midwest and other parts of the country. It's like, hey, your winters are horrible. Come here in the winter and thrive, and especially working with cycling teams and things like that to get them here in Oro Valley during these winter months, where they can get a break from the winter and come here in Oro Valley and train and have all the things at their fingertips that they need. We're really excited about some tournaments. We had a really amazing tournament this past weekend at Naranja Park called the Legendary Women's Cup. And so it was the first annual soccer tournament, but it was for all women age 17 to 70 years old. Over 500 participants in it from all over the country. They had over 302 rooms booked at Westward Look. They had a lot of events at Westward Look and surrounding areas in Oro Valley. And I'm just really excited to see how successful that event was year one. We've already booked dates for next year, so excited to bring it back. We also have a pickleball tournament this weekend, wow, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Community Recreation Center called the Picklelicious Jingle Jam Pickleball Tournament. So bring your friends, bring your family if you want to see some really fun pickleball action. It's going to be a beautiful weekend for that. We also have the Tucson Marathon this weekend that's going to be running through Oro Valley. They start up at Biosphere, so they'll be running through Oro Valley, and just a lot of different things coming over the next few months. We've got obviously our Snow V and Hot Cocoa 5K. We've got a couple wine festivals coming up in February and March of next year. We have the Tucson Bicycle Classic with the Oro Valley Circuit Race in Naranja Park again. That's going to be a really cool event. It's really neat to see all these professional riders riding through the amazingly beautiful Naranja Park with the backdrop of the Catalina Mountains. We have a lot of our spring festival and a couple pickleball tournaments coming up. So just a lot of momentum going on with the special events here.
That's great. And I know it takes a lot of organization, and your office has been able to provide that. Because people come into the community and they really don't know who to work with, who do they call, how do they get permits, you know, whether it be, are you also involved in, do you have film permits as well, Paul, there? Or when somebody wants to come and film in Oro Valley, how do they do that?
Yes, they would drop in a permit request through us as well.
Okay, great. So it's good to know who's in charge, so to speak. You know, and probably when people sometimes maybe would have called, not necessarily under your administration, but who do I talk to? Mm-hmm. You know, and hopefully the folks answering the phone knew who to. But if you're not really clear about who's in charge of what. And I think Oro Valley, certainly as a government agency, has grown over the years. There's a lot of things we haven't talked about Oro Valley, but But this tourism side of taking care. Now, but we don't want to forget that all of these communities are working together. So regionalism is still very important in economic development. And because you're working with the state, has a economic development agency. There is an educational side in Arizona. They have an educational organization where you all it was the Arizona Economic Development, AAED or something, if I remember right. Do you still have the regional meetings where all the economic development folks get together occasionally?
So we're hosting the spring AED conference at El Conquistador again this year.
Oh, yeah. So while the each individual community seems to be, thanks to Arizona Office of Tourism, what happened during COVID was that there was a considerable amount of money that came available to help improve your community and your golf courses, actually, and because it was important to keep the outdoor attractions going, and that's why the state parks were open and the golf courses remained open during COVID. But one of the other thing that happened during that time, Arizona Office of Tourism said, "Hey, look, you want to? There's a grant, but you have to be a DMO." And so they changed the rules on how to become a DMO. And it was nothing to take away from the regional agency. It was just that each community, in one way or another, through their chamber or for their city or maybe a private sector, mostly the two first ones I mentioned, were already working with visitors coming in through a visitor center or through their chambers. And what happened was that your municipality governance could determine who was the official promotional agency of your boundaries, your government boundaries. And that's what happened. There was a lot of Benson and Douglas and Tombstone and eventually Oro Valley, worked with Arizona Office of Tourism and were able to, have the community or have the community leaders, kind of take control of, their hospitality industry within the community. And Oro Valley did this over a year ago now. But I think the point I'm trying to make is you're still working with Marana and economic development. You're still working with the city of Tucson. You're still working with the state of Arizona. So without collaboration, because when somebody comes into the community and they're looking for a place to move their business, that can be quite complex, and it often starts with the state, doesn't it?
It does, and it filters directly down, much like the Commerce Authority provides us leads for primary businesses and employers. The Arizona Office of Tourism functions in a similar fashion.
Yeah. So I think it's important to understand that whether you're a membership organization or a non-membership organization or whether you're a community organization or whether you're a regional organization, everybody in this community is working together. And I know my old bosses talked about collaboration a lot. Sharon Bronson was my supervisor and one of my bosses at Pima County, and she insisted on collaboration. We didn't wait for COVID to start collaborating with Marana and other communities in tourism and in economic development. So I wanted to leave our visitors on the phone or on the radio, rather, that we're working together as the state of Arizona, because we got a lot of competition in the states that surround us. Everybody has different incentives, different ways to bring you. We don't necessarily have the best incentive program to bring a film here, but we now have an incentive program. We've always had an incentive program through the Arizona Commerce Authority, which can be comfortable, right? And, of course, having the governor and having the mayor, your mayors have been, well, they're very visible, I should say. I'm trying to think of the word, but they're very visible, willing to meet with anybody, listen to the challenges that take place. And we had one regarding height, with the merchant. How high can my hotel be? And they worked it out, right? Eventually, it all got worked out. And so that's important that because we didn't want to lose the sight of the Catalina Mountains. And I understand those conversations. So we're going to be right back because I know you want to learn more about all the activities. And Crystal's got a great new program that she's using. I'm happy to say that I introduced that program to you guys. And I'm glad you took it on. We call it Visit Widget with the SAAA. You call it something else. So we're going to learn about what you call it, and then how wonderful that's been for your trip planning and just getting to know what is to do here in that Oro Valley. And I say here just because I'm a resident of Oro Valley. This is The Morning Voice, and we're on 10:30 a.m. Facebook and YouTube, and we'll be right back. Well, we're back, and I'm Tom Moulton, your host, and we've had a rousing 2 hours talking about lights up, at Illumination, you know, festival over there at Tucson Botanical Gardens, and we're wrapping up with Paul and Crystal. Crystal, tell us a little bit about what we call Visit Widget, but you have taken it to new heights, and you're calling it Explore Arizona?
Oro Valley app.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So I had the privilege of working with Visit Widget in my days at Simple View. So knew about the product, was excited when I came on board to help finish it up and develop it and get it out there in the open. So it's a great place for visitors and residents to find what's going on. All of our events are listed on the app. We have some cool features where we've added some curated public art tours so that you can self-guide yourself around all of our public art in Oro Valley. We have over 200 pieces of public art, so it's a great way to see all of the art or the curated tours. We also have the holiday ornament hunt right now under tours that we're working with the Oro Valley Chamber on, which is a great place to see 20 local businesses. Go spend some money, shop local, help those businesses out. But the best thing is you get an ornament that was handmade by a CDO student here in Oro Valley. So it's just a great resource to get in front of visitors in market and our residents to let them know what's going on, what restaurants we have, things to do, all of our attractions like beautiful Tohono O'Toole. And it's a great tool.
I have to say, Tohono O'Toole wanted to put those signs that are along the side of the road that kind of depict the areas. And they came to me and I said, you know, I don't know if the sign code is going to let you do that. And they ended up, as we all know, that section got incorporated within Oro Valley. And guess what happened? You know, their signs were up. So cutting through bureaucracy is what a local community can do, but much bigger than, say, a Pima County. But I have to say, Pima County obviously has been good to all of us, but it's been good to me and my family since both of us worked there. I worked there for 17 years, and my wife worked there for 25 years. So nothing but good things to say about Chuck Huckleberry and the rest of the Jan Lesher and the rest of the gang. But one of the things that local communities can do is adopt, customize, and quite frankly, more empathetic to everyone's project. So as I briefly mentioned that there was some issues with the new marketplace, but the challenges were worked out. They came together, and as you mentioned, you're going to have on the first phase, Paul, apartments and a new hotel. Which is good because we need a new hotel because I see our hotels are busy, good part of the year. And I have to say there's a more and a newer emphasis on leisure travelers. We used to be a very corporate kind of resort community. So I was really happy to hear you off air here say that leisure's. Now, Paul, say goodbye because tell me about the website and then we have to go.
Oh, Tom, that helps us get that first leg of marketing Oro Valley. We've always known that we needed to have something Oro Valley centric, so we're looking forward to create that to help leverage what Crystal's been doing with the Explore OV app.
So it's Explore. Tell me your website real quick.
It's going to be Explore Oro Valley as well.
Explore Oro Valley. So yep. Folks, stay tuned. A lot more to do at Oro Valley. This is The Morning Voice. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week. Ed Ackerley will be here tomorrow. Thank you all for joining us here on air or on YouTube or on Facebook. Matt, I'm going to give it back to you. Have a good day.